Well, hello everybody and welcome. This is Justin and Lizzie, and we are from Third Space. And this, if this is the first time you're joining us, is Turning Towards Life, which is our weekly conversation about everything and anything in some ways, but always about something that's seems to me, Lizzie, that the theme is something that's very true to this living of being a human. It's what we're up to. And you're so welcome, all of you who are with us, to be here, whether you have been with us for this is now 398 times that we've done this, 298, I've added 100 on, or the 5.5 and more years that we've been doing this. If you maybe you've been with us all this time, or maybe like many people, you're finding your way to us at this point in your life and at this point in our lives, and you're so welcome to be here with us. So thank you for joining us. And as always, we're going to do the ordinary every week practice, Lizzie, I know, which is that you have chosen a wonderful source for us to begin with. And then we're going to unfold into some conversation, which will take us who knows where and who knows when, which I'm really looking forward to.
Thanks, Justin. Well, again, we have the amazing Rosemary Ortola Trummer as our poet, our source. And Justin, I've been reflecting on, there's lots of things, I think I've said this before lots of times already, but lots of things I read that I think are going to be great sources, and then I think they're not. And because I can kind of, in some way, feel into what the unfolding would maybe lead to, not like, like I know what we're going to say or something, but I can, I guess maybe I can feel the depth of it or something. And this week I was reading something expecting it to be a great source, and I really still am not 100% sure what makes things a good source for us. But I think it's something maybe about the kind of universality of it, the inclusivity of it, the humanness of it, like you said, that you could find in many human beings, rather than just as, it's not opinion pieces or like what people think about things. It's something, maybe what we would call, like, it has a developmental theme inside of it or something. Maybe that's it. And goodness knows what developmental theme means in some way. Like, I would have to read, you know, still keep defining the words I'm using to know. But I think the thing about Rosemary is that she feels to me is in reflection of all the kind of things we're in reflection about. So I feel like we could just bring, so I finally got her book, which, if you're not listening, I'm holding up, it's called All the Honey Poems, Rosemary Ortola Trummer, with a beautiful image on the front of what seems to me like a beautiful kind of archway, gateway, with a figure inside of it and a little one in her arms. And it's a very, very beautiful book just to hold in your hands. So I would really recommend finding it if you're interested in her beautiful work. And I feel like we could just go through this book and do an All the Honey series or something, Justin. And every single one we'd have these beautiful conversations about, because it so feels aligned with what we're always on about. And I'm so grateful to Rosemary for kind of being part of us. And that wasn't her choice. So thank you, Rosemary, as always. So we're going to read the source as we normally do, Justin, and then see where this leads us.
Yeah. Lizzie, before you do read the source, you just sound a little quiet to me, and I don't know if...
Do I sound better now?
You do, yes.
I just moved my microphone.
That was the answer.
Okay, so here we go. This beautiful poem is called Safety Net. Thank you, Rosemary, for having this be born in the world. This morning I woke thinking of all the people I love and all the people they love and how big the net of lovers. It felt so clear, all those invisible ties interwoven like silken threads, strong enough to make a mesh that for thousands of years has been woven and rewoven to catch us all. Sometimes we go on as if we forget about it, believing only in the fall. But the net is just as real. Every day, with every small kindness, with every generous act, we strengthen it. Notice even now how, as the whole world seems to be falling, it is there for us as we walk the day's tightrope, how every tie matters.
Thank you, Lizzie. I was thinking about what you said just before I read this, that of course we could do an All the Honey series, and maybe we will over time. And then you said how Rosemary hadn't chosen this, but it's also true, because I know Rosemary will be listening. Hi, Rosemary, and thank you for this. That Rosemary has been such a generous support of us bringing and talking about her work. So it's not without a relationship that we're doing this. So it's very joyful. Thank you. So this is Safety Net. This morning, I woke thinking of all the people I love and all the people they love, and how big the net of lovers. It felt so clear, all those invisible ties interwoven like silken threads, strong enough to make a mesh that for thousands of years has been woven and rewoven to catch us all. Sometimes we go on as if we forget about it, believing only in the fall, but the net is just as real. Every day, with every small kindness, with every generous act, we strengthen it. Notice even now how, as the whole world seems to be falling, it is there for us as we walk the day's tightrope, how every tie matters.
Thanks, Justin. So I noticed, Justin, as you were reading that, I could feel, so it's really, really, really hot today. And I've been really kind of, oh God, it's so hot. I've got to open the windows. I feel uncomfortable. And I had to run up and down the stairs a few times to get things and got really, really hot. And I noticed in that kind of reactivity, it just happens to be hotness today. It might be goodness knows how many other things in my reactivity in any other day. In my reactivity, this is one of the things that's so easy to forget. And so as you're reading it to me now, even in this moment, in my hotness, my whole kind of orientation to being me shifts. And in the remembering and in the making contact with that more expansive field of my life, rather than my little kind of acorn sized perception of things because I'm hot and cross and whatever, it's like a kind of, I don't know, almost, given that I'm hot, it feels like slowly submersing myself into a lake or something and feeling the freedom of a way less bounded, way less tight and small existence. And as that imagery of there being people I love and then people they love and then people they love and then people they, like, as that expands in my heart and mind, my body goes, oh. And even I feel cooler, you know, I feel less reactive and more resourced and more held, rather than me holding it all up or something, or this is my life. It's like, oh no, this is the life. This is the life that's here all the time. And I haven't been, in the last hour anyway, orienting to life as something expansive. I've been orienting it to it in a way that is tight and constraining and annoying and And so I'm feeling really grateful to the invitation, and that I can take it to kind of sink into something much different than the tightness that I've been experiencing this morning from being hot and irritated and physically uncomfortable.
You're making me think, Lizzie, about clearly about Rosemary's poem, but also last week, last Monday night, I went to see, as you know, I went to see Peter Gabriel, the musician, perform. And he said, at one point, he said that it's very easy to think of ourselves as completely separate, so that when, because we've got these bodies that feel and look so separate to one another, and you can be over there and I can be over here and all of that, and you can be in your room feeling very, very hot and knowing that somebody else in your house might be feeling very different, all of that. But he also said that certainly for those of us who grew up in Western ways of thinking about the world, that seems like the most obvious thing, but there have been many, many cultures now and through history that would understand that if you pulled someone and lifted them up, you would, you know, and pulled them away, you would see this vast, vast web of connections with other people, and that you couldn't understand what it was to be us if you didn't also understand the web. It wasn't an addition, it was inherently true about us. And you're talking about feeling so hot, and the shift that comes from looking in this other way is it struck me that actually this line in Rosemary's poem, where Rosemary says, sometimes we go on as if we forget about it, believing only in the fall, but the net is just as real. I think I wanted to sort of object in a way and say, for many of us, most of the time we forget about it and believe only in the fall. You know, it can be so difficult unless we get reminded, because for so many of us, we have been taught again and again and again that we're essentially on our own. To be a human is to be alone. And that others are far, even when they're close. And others are first other, even when there's so much that is shared between us. And it's one of the things that I have loved about Rosemary's work is Rosemary's really deep, deep commitment to articulating the net and articulating love, even in the most difficult of circumstances, is to keep on reminding us that this is here. It seems so necessary because for many of us, it's the first thing that we forget, or it's the thing that we never really understood. And if you love anyone, even a tiny bit, or if you're loved by anyone, even a tiny bit, even if the most love we can muster is that feeling of gratitude when we go and buy something in the shop and there's someone kind there, and that is still exactly what Rosemary is writing about, of all the people I love and all the people they love and how big the net of lovers is. Every time we interact with, we're in relationship with another human where we can feel any amount of care for them and they might feel any amount of care for us, we're deep in this mesh. And for many people it goes way further than that. We can identify more than the person in the shop who smiled at us. We can identify friends and family and colleagues and teachers and people we pass on the street and we know their faces. And what a different way of living it is to start to shift into. Like, I sort of wonder, I'm thinking about what it is to purposefully and intentionally to look at the world this way, to pay attention to the way the web is being made, the net is being made, rather than paying all of our attention to the ways that we're unheld And suddenly all of this starts to come forward. It was always there, but it was become in the background or have become transparent. And so there's a sort of kind of practice or way of orienting that we're being invited into. This is not a description only, although it is a description. It's also a call to pay attention to something.
Mm-hmm. And also it gives us, for me anyway, it gives me a sense of if I did do that practice, there would be something there. You know, like Rosemary's taking a stand for every tight rope day. As we walk that day, every time matters. So it's like a recognition of the tightropeness of our days. But that if we fell off the tightrope, there is something there. And that is such a safety-making statement that I can be led by into this practice that you're talking about, of looking at appreciatively of what's here and feeling all the ways that there have been kindnesses. As you were talking, I was reminding myself of, or I was reminded as you said it, of the time that I had a really bad headache, and I think I took some kind of headache pill or something, can't even remember what it was, and I hadn't had any breakfast, and I was on my way into town. And I had some reaction to it. Anyway, I ended up fainting on a train. And you know what? Well, if anybody who's listening lives in London and has ever commuted, this hilarious thing happens in London that everybody turns into like a non-human being while they're on the train. Everybody pretends they can't see one another and looks at their phones and is very kind of serious, and nobody really smiles at one another. And it's like this interesting thing that I've wondered about for years, and I find myself doing it too. Like, I don't know, it's just a weird thing. I feel caught up in myself. Whereas if I'm on the street, I smile at people and I say hello and, you know, feel like a local wherever I am. And so anyway, there's this really funny thing that happens. But when I fainted on the train, I was standing. I think that was part of it too. I was standing, it was a hot day. And I literally fell, keeled over backwards into the middle of the compartment. And as I was going, I could feel that some people were annoyed with me because I was obviously pushing them. And then they realized I was actually collapsing. And then I just went. And when I woke up, and it was probably instantaneous, I was probably out for like 3 seconds or something. As I woke up, there were all these people with normal human faces trying to help me. And there was one who whipped out an oat bar, another who whipped out a little bottle of water that they had in their bag, someone else who had some sweets. There was like all these people, and then somebody got out of their seat and put me in their seat. And honestly, it was the most extraordinary undoing, and in that moment of the kind of straight-facedness of being on a train in London, which is, I don't know if it's like that in other places, but here it's just hilarious how miserable everyone is and how kind of in themselves they are. And it was so extraordinary to kind of reimagine what's really going on the train based on people's response to me in being in need, and the vulnerability of literally being unconscious and the world coming to meet me and find me, and then someone helping me off the train into a seat, making sure somebody came to attend to me before everybody kind of dissipated and moved away. And the funny thing was, on that day, there, I think, was about 5 other people who'd also passed out. So it was like a weird thing that happened. So there were like 5 of us sitting on the platform who'd had this strange thing of fainting on the train. And you could see that around each one, this little group of really kind people had gathered. And there wasn't one who didn't get a lot of kind people. So literally what it showed me is that the majority of that, I don't know, 12-car train was in the weird London commuter trance. But really who they are is really kind and offering oat bars and scrabbling around in their own stuff to help another person in need. And it really gave me faith that that's really the vast majority of things that are happening, really, really, in all of us, is that there's an underlying straightforward kindness that might not be visible all the time, but if you look for it and if you need it, it really is there. And so this sense of that there is this net that has been woven and woven and woven. And in this moment, I'm feeling this part that Rosemary speaks about, of every day, with every small kindness, we strengthen the it. that makes so much sense to me in my imagination and in my lived experience, which is that everything has come from somewhere else. Every kindness has come from someone else's kindness. Every warmth has come from someone else's warmth, and a thousand warmths behind that too. So when the warmth reaches me, it's not an individual warmth. It's some manifestation of a collective, ancestral, non-time-bound warmth that happens to be coming through this human being right now. And I'm feeling really appreciative of the fact that there's this way that we can consciously orient ourselves in that way, rather than, as you said, looking at all the ways I don't get met, or it's not right, or I'm not seen in the right way or something, that there's ways I can look for and feel into this beautiful, extraordinary, built over many eons web of goodness and kindness. And what's the other option? And generosity. Feels like that's what the world is made of.
Such a gorgeous way of thinking about this, Lizzie, as I'm feeling it in myself, as you're saying, that if we could receive every act of kindness as the cumulative effect of all the acts of kindnesses through every generation that led up to that moment, how much that would strengthen our own feeling of being held and our own feeling of being safe. And I think so much of this is so much of the world that is the sort of the opposite of the world that Rosemary's talking about is the world of fear. We feel afraid. We've talked about this many, many times. There are very many good reasons why the cultures that we're in teach us to be afraid of one another. It serves all kinds of interests, not particularly power structures, but also particular ways that certain kind of economic activity work, and all of that are built upon our feeling lack all the time and fear of one another, and then trying to address it or feeling very small in the face of it. So what a strengthening move it is to feel when someone smiles at you in the street, or picks you up when you fainted, or whatever it is, to feel that what you're receiving is not just their kindness, as what you said, but the kindness of everyone who's shown them kindness, and the kindness of everyone who's shown them. And that goes back all the way to the start of their ever having been relational life, was that life is taken care, as well as all the other things that life does. So that was the first thing I was feeling, what an antidote to fear, but also what a strengthening in ourselves of our own willingness to be kind. Like there's some way that is easy for some of us to get caught up in sort of making this about me and feeling embarrassed in a way. I think that's one of the things that might be going on the train, is a sort of kind of embarrassment, a London embarrassment about being too warm with people and too intimate with people, and wherever that comes from. But one way to get over our own embarrassment of being really straightforwardly warm and contactful is to feel the flow of all the warmth that's been shown to us, and all the generosity and every small kindness, to feel how that stretches all the way back in time, and to feel it flowing through us in the way that this net that Rosemary, I'm starting to feel the net not just as a net, not just as the metaphor of a thing that exists, but more like a flow, a stream that runs in all kinds of different directions. And if we could let ourselves feel ourselves strengthened and softened and warmed to do that, because the kindness that we get to show isn't just ours, then it's also not effort, and it's just very, very natural. As you were just saying, we become part of the process of awakening warmth and generosity and kindness everywhere, because we start to make the water that we're swimming in that way. So this having the right story about it, like the right understanding about it, and then paying attention to it, and then acting in line with what we see, actually then brings about more and more. And that's this line that you've referred to, and that really catches me, that every day, with every small kindness and every generous act, we strengthen it. Well, there's a promise to live by, if we choose, a really meaningful one. I commit myself to living in such a way that I strengthen the eons old and world spanning web of kindness and support and love that is available, so that when you faint on the tube, it turns out that not everyone is just minding their own business. They are actually paying attention, and is kindness and help is not very far away. But I also know that there are many, many places in which that kindness and help is far away, not because people don't have it within them, but because it's too frightening, because we've made a world that is harsh and unkind. And in that, it's hard for us to feel the presence of this web. Right in the most, maybe right in the most, of course, Rosemary's written about this, right? When the whole world seems to be falling, when that's the story that we swim in all the time, that the world is falling apart and on the brink and on the edge. And
yeah,
whenever that is true or feels true, doesn't matter which of the two it is, the thing to do is to act in line with this. That's exactly what's called for, precisely because the world is falling or seems to be falling.
Yeah. The other thing, Justin, that occurs to me is you say that, you know, I often feel so hopeful in with that when that theme arises, like when everything feels like it's falling apart, a small kindness is an appropriate response, or a small act of some kind of generosity. Because it feels so disempowering when everything feels very big and falling apartness is grand and at scale. And the other thing that just came to me is that it also feels important that we give each other the opportunity to be kind. Like, we're talking about the kind of big ancestral swell of kindness and goodness that has brought us to this point of our own kindnesses. But also, I think there's a kind of real time nowness to remembering, to self-remembering, but also remembering everyone in our lives. And I remember I was in a coaching conversation with somebody a while ago, and most of the work was literally recalling all the ways that this person had been supported and making contact with all of those people to find out. This is what it turned out, that she found out that they had so much for her at a time when she was feeling really desperate and like she didn't know which way to turn. The way wasn't to me to, oh, I've got to figure this out myself, but the way happened to turn out to be, oh, there's all these people who I could ask for help from. And when she called them, they were so delighted to help her. When she emailed them with this request that she had, they were like, oh my gosh, of course, let's meet, let's do something. And it was, and we had her kind of draw the web in her practical life now of who was there for her and who might be someone she would thank or reach out to for help or whatever, so that she could actually feel the practical reality of this thing that Rosemary's saying, this web that not only exists in time backwards, but exists in the present too. And how it's so easy to jump into this narrative, you know, part of the lack narrative is to think that I've got to do this on my own and I've got to figure it out on my own and nobody should have to help me for me to succeed or something. And then the undoing of that, when you reach out and you call old friends from school that you haven't seen for 25 years and say, what are you doing? And I'm at this transition in my life and I would really love a conversation about how your life has gone and what kind of work you do and what's happened and feeling into other people's worlds that are connected and generous towards you, and some risks taken there too, because it's, you know, it's difficult to know whether there's still an existing generosity or things have moved on or whatever, but to paint that actual web of everything that's happened to life up till now and allow people to be kind to you when you need it seems to be part of the equation too. It's not just me going out and being generous in the world or something, but that I can also make requests of other people when I feel like I need to be more connected, to give them the opportunity to also be generous and kind to me as well.
What a wonderful practice to take on that you described of mapping out who's around us and all the ways that there might be support, because I know for me, learning that I'm loved and supported has not always been the easiest thing, even when it's abundantly obvious. You know, there's a weird thing is being surrounded, really only ever having been surrounded by people who were loving and supporting and of that kind of intention, and finding it hard to receive it. So I'm struck, Lizzie, that in what you're saying, that there is this part of this, I think I'm just saying back what you already said, but this is how it's landing in me, that it's not just that we learn to orient to the world, feeling the web of kindness and warmth where that has been in the world, feeling it come through us so that we can enact it. There's actually also the part of learning to receive, learning to inhabit the web that's there. And for many of us, it is a huge revelation to find out that allowing other people to support us is a gift to them, that they are so waiting and willing to give it. I mean, it's a real honor to be asked to support somebody who you care about.
Mm.
And I've fallen foul of that many, 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 many times. And the thing that I've been more often trying to do is to just also to imagine when I feel shy of or in any kind of shame about or resistance to asking for help, is just to make the simple move of, well, this person who I love, if they asked me for help, what would I want to do to them? And every time it's like, of course I would help them. But somehow the knowing myself as the recipient can be harder for me. So I'm going to take up the mapping practice when I'm in, you know, when I feel lost and alone, I'm going to do that. But what a thing it is to do that we could add. I wouldn't want to mess with Rosemary's poetry at all, but we could say in every day, every small kindness we receive, every generous act we welcome, we strengthen this.
Yeah.
That's part of the deal here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really beautiful. I think the whole, it's so elusive sometimes, the relationship between giving and receiving, and yet it feels like one and the same thing as well. I'm really happy to be including that. So I think, Justin, we're probably around the end of our time, and I want to say thank you always, as always, to you, Justin, and to Rosemary too, and to everybody for being here and being in the inquiry and in the welcoming of this act, as we are in receipt of this act of whatever we're doing here, that people are receiving this and listening to us and joining in their own ways is really very wonderful, and part of this huge big net. We can feel that so strongly. So thank you, Justin, for being here. Thank you, Rosemary, and thank you everybody for being with us. And we'll be back next week.
Indeed.
Thanks, bye, everyone. Bye.